Matt, welcome to the second half of our first week's worth of content. I'm really enjoying what I'm reading so far from your form responses. Make sure that you have those in before the end of the week. In today's audio lecture, you will be receiving your audio response question as well, which is going to involve something that we talk about today and a little bit from the readings generally this week, even though this week you just have the little YouTube video to watch. So make sure you've done that as well. We're going to be getting in a little bit more in depth right now in terms of what a nonprofit is, because I used to put this a little bit later in the semester. I would have these sort of discussions about what a nonprofit is and the definitions of nonprofit and all that good stuff. But I realize now it's very important to get this very, very clear right away in terms of what a nonprofit is and what a charity is. And it's sort of really why I wanted you to have that sort of response for your form responses to tell me what's your level of familiarity with this. And I think one thing I've learned about Brock students so far is many of you, a lot of you, I'd say a significantly high percentage of you, have actually experienced working with a nonprofit, have worked for a nonprofit, have volunteered for a nonprofit, even if you don't realize that you've done that. If you volunteered for a local sporting organization, if you've coached, this is all working with a nonprofit. And this is sort of what I want to get into today, which is the strict definitions and the differences between the two. So again, it's an important lecture to get this sort of straight in our heads as we move forward, because you might be closing your minds off to potential opportunities in the future if you don't understand necessarily what a nonprofit is and how they operate in the country. So in Canada, the terms nonprofit organization and charity are often used interchangeably, but they represent distinct legal and operational entities under Canadian law. Both types of organizations operate on a not-for-profit basis, meaning they do not distribute profits to members or directors, but their purposes, activities, and regulations differ significantly. So that's an important place to start. You're going to hear nonprofit organizations, you're going to hear charity. They are not the same thing. That's something that I think you've already been able to guess so far. A Canadian nonprofit organization, NPO, is defined under the Income Tax Act as an association, club, or society that operates exclusively for social welfare, civic improvement, pleasure, recreation, or any other purpose except profit generation. There's a little bit more to that definition that we're actually going to get into next week. NPOs include community organizations, sports clubs, and cultural groups. Their primary goal is to serve their members or the broader community by fulfilling specific objectives, such as promoting the arts, sports, or education. And while NPOs can generate revenue through membership fees, fundraising, program fees, and any other surplus funds, they've got to be invested into the mission and operations. Okay? So we're going to go back to this a few times throughout the semester. What is a nonprofit? Well, there it is right there. They can generate revenue. I'm going to say this at least a half dozen times this semester. Nonprofit does not mean non-revenue. Okay? Their primary goal is to serve their members or the broader community by fulfilling these objectives, but it doesn't mean that they can't deal with money. In fact, there is not a single nonprofit in sport right now that does not deal with money in significant ways. And we're going to get into all sorts of ways in which it's very important to handle that money sufficiently and competently throughout the semester. Another important part of this right here is nonprofits are not automatically exempt from paying tax. They must meet specific requirements to qualify for tax exemptions, and they can't issue tax receipts for donations. That is a key difference. You'll notice that in the YouTube video you've already watched. Their governance structure typically includes a board of directors responsible for overseeing operations and ensuring compliance with bylaws and legal requirements. And just by contrast, a charity is a type of nonprofit organization that has been registered with the Canada Revenue Agency as having exclusively charitable purposes. And charitable purposes fall into four broad categories: relief of poverty, advancement of education, the advancement of religion, and other purposes beneficial to the community as determined by the courts. You're talking about food banks here, religious organizations, educational institutions, that kind of stuff. Can there be sport charities? Yes, there can. Okay? They exist. But the threshold for proving that you are a charity is enormously high. And it's important to sort of note that, right? That it is very difficult. It is not an easy thing to do to be able to become a charity. It's a relatively simple process to get incorporated as a nonprofit. But to become a charity, you need to meet a high standard. Okay, and there are very specific reasons for that, right? The ability to issue tax receipts is an incredibly powerful gesture, okay, and is one that is not taken lightly by the Canada Revenue Agency. You can expect your life to be filled with a heavy scrutiny from the Canada Revenue Agency if you have a charity. If you've maybe worked for a charity, or if you've ever been paid by a charity, if you've been on their staff, you know that the CRA is very careful with how that money is spent. There's a number of really important reasons why that this is done. If you think about it from the perspective of you and I and everybody else that pays tax in this country, if you were able to generate tax exemptions, which is to say, you know, a way of essentially easing the burdens of a tax or the taxation burdens on individuals, and any organization can attain this status really quickly, you can create a pretty awesome situation for money laundering pretty soon, right? So you don't want that. You want to make sure that the people are actually doing what it is that they say that they're doing. So a nonprofit, this is why when I tell you throughout the semester that organizations like the CHL are organized like a nonprofit, or FIFA is organized like a nonprofit, this should probably make a little bit more sense, right? The idea is, and though it might seem counterintuitive when I use organizations like FIFA as an example, their stated mission is not generating profits, okay? And this is, again, why we can scrutinize these organizations sometimes for that type of operation. So charities held to a high standard because they have that very powerful tool. They can issue tax receipts. Charities also enjoy additional privileges, the ability to issue official donation receipts for income tax purposes. That's sort of what we're talking about there, to incentivize donations. However, this also means that charities face those regulations, and they also have to report yearly in a much more strict way than just a regular nonprofit. They've got to allocate their resources primarily towards charitable activities and ensure that no undue benefits are provided to members or directors. It doesn't mean that no one can get paid. They can. Just nothing over and above what is normal. And there's many examples of charities losing their charitable status. If you've ever heard of a situation like that, a charity losing its ability to generate tax receipts for donors means that they likely don't have any more donors and their charity is completely gone. We're going to talk a little bit later on about how you generate donations and why it's done and how to sort of take advantage of all that. But that's, I think, a situation I think you can understand the rationale behind it. In order to be a charity, you got to file an annual Registered Charity Information Return, a T3010. If you've worked in nonprofits, just even saying that will make people cringe with fear. Providing detailed information about their finances, activities, and governance. They must maintain a minimum annual disbursement quota, ensuring that a percentage of their assets is spent directly on charitable programs or donations to other qualified charities. I think it's important that we keep this in mind when we have our discussion about nonprofits throughout the semester, that look, there is a huge difference between the nonprofits that I think you should keep your minds open to in terms of the sport industry in general, and also how different they are in operation from a registered charity. And also, you know, for how strict the regulations are around charity. I don't know, there's a lot of cynicism that I think it's directed towards charities at times in terms of them, you know, being perhaps wasteful. But again, I think it's important to note that the regulations that exist around charities are there for a reason. And generally speaking, charities operate in very lean ways, and they don't waste donations for the most part. And there are many different reporting mechanisms out there to evaluate charity, but if you are going to be donating to charities, it's important that you have a look around to make sure that the charity you're going to be donating to is one that spends money well. But keep in mind that in our country, in Canada, there are regulations in place to make sure that this is done well. Another distinction lies in the governance and accountability structures between nonprofits and charities. While nonprofits are governed by their members, charities are more closely regulated by the Canada Revenue Agency to ensure their compliance with charitable purposes. Nonprofits have much more operational flexibility, whereas charities must adhere strictly to the guidelines outlined in the Income Tax Act. Now again, I'm giving you all this detail for a reason. When we say things like, how could they do this? They're operating as a nonprofit. How could the Canadian government allow this to happen? Keep in mind, organizing as a nonprofit is essentially just a legal declaration that we are a group of people that are coming together to do something in the community, and that thing that we are doing is not to go make a bunch of money. But anything other than that, anything inside that realm, there are so many different ways you can operate as a nonprofit and so many different activities that you can do underneath that are a far, far cry from that of a charity. So it makes a lot of sense why your organization would want to organize themselves like a nonprofit if they administer sport. There's a reason that the vast majority of the youth sport that you played, no matter what sport it was, likely was touched by nonprofits, okay, at some point. Nonprofits or organizations that are organized like a nonprofit, I should say, are responsible for delivering sport in an overwhelming sense at the youth level across Canada. And you can start to, I think, get a picture here of why this course is on the books here at Brock, and why becoming having an operational understanding of how nonprofits work is foundational to understanding how the sport industry works in Canada. Because again, the vast majority of sport is administered by nonprofits. I will say that so many times this semester, you're going to get very sick of me saying that. So while both nonprofits and charities in Canada operate to benefit society, and that's sort of the, as the CRA would describe it, rather than generate profit, charities face much more rigorous oversight and are granted additional tax-related benefits. Nonprofits, on the other hand, have far fewer regulatory burdens, but lack the ability to issue tax receipts. Okay, and that sounds like a pretty simple distinction right there, right? Now, one can't issue a tax receipt. Okay, fair enough. I can see the difference right there. But organizations must carefully evaluate their missions and goals to determine whether registering as a charity or operating as a nonprofit best aligns with their objectives. Key takeaways today. And today's just a mini secondary lecture as well, because we're going to get into form and function next week of how nonprofits operate and how they deliver support and all the sort of aspects of how nonprofits do their thing. But it's just important here to evaluate a sort of baseline understanding of what's going on here. But crucial takeaways. Nonprofit does not mean non-revenue. You're going to hear that a lot this semester. Okay, there's a lot of money at stake with nonprofits. All right, there's a lot of money flowing in and out of nonprofits in terms of the delivery of sport. Think of right now, if you're listening to this right now and you want to work in the sport industry, right, and you're, well, which I would think is the vast majority of you given the degree you've signed up for in the class you're taking right now. But still, imagine what sport is that you're wanting to work for. Say it's hockey, say it's baseball, say it's basketball. We'll use hockey as an example right now because it's a simple one to sort of think about. The governance, the delivery, the administration of that sport in your community right now, doesn't matter where you live. You could live in downtown Toronto, and still, the majority of the operation of that sport in your community is going to be done by a nonprofit. And if you walk into the spaces of this sport, for instance, without an understanding of how that sport is governed, you're really coming in with a very limited understanding of how the sport operates in the country. Basically, what I'm saying is, if you want to work in one of these sports for a long time, not just get a job for here and now and move on in. If you want to get in a leadership position, if you want to be someone that can be looked at as a steward of this sport moving forward, understanding how it operates at the grassroots level is crucial. And in order to understand the grassroots level, you have to understand nonprofit sporting organizations and how to manage them. So experience gathered in this space is incredibly important. And I'm hoping by the end of this course, you can really look around in your own community and look back at some of the organizations that you played for and get a great understanding of how much work goes into delivering sport where you played it and delivering sport in the communities that you grew up in and delivering sport in a way that made you fall in love with sport to begin with. I think that's a useful part about this course, is getting you to think back to your own experiences, because there's a darn good chance it's because of something delivered by a nonprofit. So does that mean you all have to go and give back to your nonprofit? Absolutely not. But look, if you want an example of a way in which you can become a leader in sport while you're sort of in the early stages of your sporting career, volunteering, even depending on the size of the organization, if it's a smaller sporting organization in your community, you can even become a board member. We've had, at this point, we've had six from this class moved on. I think it's five, and there's a sixth, hopefully very, very, very soon in the upcoming board elections, that have become board members in their community. We've had that happen in Kitchener, and we had it happen in Windsor, a person in Moose Jaw joined the youth sports organizations in baseball. We had volleyball and hockey so far, and they become board members. And something to think about, right? I mean, is that, a great paying gig? No, of course not, right? But in a nonprofit, in a youth sport organization that's responsible for the delivery of sport, if you want a way of really increasing your exposure to that sport and developing leadership skills, even though you're young, and that's something that to keep in mind. We understand that you're young, and it's often right now an important part about trying to develop your resume is trying to develop skills that differentiate you from not just your classmates, but other sport management students worldwide and other people applying for jobs. Well, getting into these nonprofits, you will get great experience from the ground up doing lots of different things. It's something we'll talk about throughout the semester. So that's my medium pitch for nonprofits in your community. Something to think about here, whether it's in the summertime or after you graduate, to try and give back in that way and also gain some experience that will really give you an appreciation for how sport actually is run and not just the theoretical nature of how sport is run or our ideas about how professional sport is run from the outside. Okay, so today I'm actually going to ask you your audio response question based on today's lecture. Now, this is a little bit different than normal because I'm going to be normally asking you for your audio response question to be based on the readings. But since the reading is such a simplistic version of today's audio response, I'm going to ask you to respond directly to something that we talked about today in this audio response, in this audio lecture. So as a reminder, if you need a tutorial for how to create your audio response, have a look on Brightspace. There's a tutorial that shows you how to do it on your laptop, on a Windows machine, on your iPhone, or an Android device. It's pretty simple, again, to create voice notes, but again, just if you've never done that, so no problem. I want you to make specific reference in your audio response to a specific thing that we talked about during the audio lecture right now. The easiest way to do this moving forward, by the way, is if you're listening to something and it resonates with you, if you're listening to this on your phone, if you're listening to this on your laptop, just write down a timestamp. That's the easiest way. It's like a mini citation. So when you're doing your form response or when you're doing your audio response, you'd be like, yeah, at 2 minutes, we talked about this. I really thought this was interesting because blank. That way, when I'm reading this, I'm like, okay, they actually were engaged in this situation, right? That's the way to make sure that you're getting full credit for the work that you're doing right here. So again, here's something where you're going to go back and do it right now. You can go back to a part of the audio lecture, which is in this one, only about 15 minutes. And you say, look, at this minute, we talked about this, and this was important to me for some specific reason. Okay, so now it's time for your audio response question. So this week's audio response question asks you to look forward a little bit. Okay, again, we're still in the first week here, so we don't want to dive too deep here, but I want you to look forward into the way that we imagine we're going to be spending time together in this course. And your question is, what qualities do you anticipate will be important for those managing nonprofit sport organizations in Canada? What qualities do you think will be important to the successful governance and organization of a nonprofit sport organization in Canada? When I say what qualities, I'm looking for personal characteristics, maybe skill sets, maybe familiarity with certain aspects of an industry. You tell me, right? And again, you have the definition now. You have sort of an idea, basically speaking, about how nonprofits are organized. You might be thinking, okay, there might be specific skills that might make you more adept here. You can be talking about specific degrees if you'd like, but it doesn't need to be. When I ask you what skills, what qualifications, what qualities go into a successful or a manager of a nonprofit sport organization, what do you think? So that's your audio response question for today. Make sure you're making specific reference to something covered in the audio lecture itself. And I am looking forward to listening to all of your voices answer this question. Have a great week.